Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
This is why it's great to live in America. It's wonderful. I'd like to read you something that I think is very important. It starts out like this. I can hardly wait for Independence Day to be over. I have to get up at 4 a.m., so I'm in bed by 8 p.m. But tonight, neighborhood fireworks are raging, and I can't sleep. I think I'll get up and call my daughter Teresa. This is her favorite holiday. And the only one she decorates for with red, white, and blue dinnerware, American flags, and a patriotic quilt her mother made for her. She loves the outdoor celebrations and the simple foods like burgers, chips, ice cream, watermelon. Above all, she loves her country. Tell me again, T, why do you like this holiday so much? Well, Dad, it's about freedom, you know. America is just a beautiful, wonderful gift. When I hear the Star Spangled Banner, I can hardly believe that God provided a free nation like this one. I mean, there's nothing like it anywhere else on earth. It may be tarnished, but it still has something good going on. Okay, why does it have to be so noisy? Dad, get with it. Buy some fireworks, make some noise, show some enthusiasm. How about if I set them off at 5 a.m., my good time of day? Well, I hope your neighbors have a sense of humor. But you said this is a free country. It's also a civilized country, Dad. Go back to bed, you're hopeless. On my way back to bed, I stood and peeked out the front door. I can see the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, and my neighbors flag waving proudly. And I get a little lump in my throat. Thank God for these noisy, irritating, but free United States of America. Our scripture portion today is found in Zechariah 14:21. Says, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty. And all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. God must not be confined to Sundays, quiet times, or deeper life conferences. He's the God of every day, the God of the kitchen as well as the sanctuary, the golf course as well as the altar. He wants to socialize with us, eat and drink with us, as Jesus did with his disciples. He wants to make every area of our lives awesome. Now, I'd like to read something I thought was awesome. In Genesis 1:21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters have brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after their kind. And God saw that it was good. Now listen to this. Consider the smallest feathered thing, like a hummingbird. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. One just buzzed me so angrily, I thought it would tear my ear off. It must be a male. No female would fly that recklessly and aggressively. I watched him slam into warp speed to challenge another hummingbird. A most amazing being, the hummingbird. The heart the size of a freckle. A heart that beats 10 times faster than ours does. They fly faster than I drive, and they can fly backward, and they can fly hundreds of miles in a single flight without pause for rest or restaurant, which I cannot do. They gleam and delight. They're the shards of all the colors that we can imagine. They have a vast, wild courage, and I admire them so much, even as they buzz around the end of my ear. Would you barrel headlong into a being 1,000 times your size? It may well be, as my biologist friends tell me, that the Hummer is probably defending his territory, the slice of the world he claims as his own. But I wonder if this ambition is not as large as his bravery, and he fires himself at this incomprehensibly large to measure its mystery and assert his character. To understand himself in some Hummish way, I'll assert his character. So we all launch ourselves at the Maker, hoping to see and smell and sense and feel and hear and touch that which we can only dimly comprehend. We pray, we attend to the smallest of feathered things invented by the coolest engineer that ever was, our God. That's awesome. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus prepared a table for David in the presence of his enemies. Remember that? There's more to that than you might imagine. Jesus invited us to a table. It was the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so Jesus wants to also sit at our table. He wants to be part of our everyday lives. He wants to teach us. He wants to amaze us. He wants to play with us. He wants to dazzle us. He wants to entertain us. He wants us to welcome into every part of our family as he has welcomed us into his. He wants us to be as happy as he is. God is the Lord of new beginnings, and he gives us second chances. Maybe you weren't a very good parent. Maybe you were too busy as parents, shouting and quarreling with one another. You wanted your kids to act like adults while you were acting like children. Well, God gives us a do-over. It's called being a grandparent. That's so exciting. I once met a friend of mine who I thought was a little kooky. And a lot of my friends are kooky, so you better not want to be called one of my friends. When I first met Salvador Dentisi, he came to Washington Island, And he told me that he was interested in getting some of the tapes from the radio program I had called Church in the Wildwood. And he wanted to get the tapes so he could play them and sell them in his bookstore. Now, you have to understand his background. He was a member of a mafia family out of Milwaukee. And he invented and patented the kiosks where, remember, they used to bring your films and drop them off the kiosk. What do they call that company? Kodak? He invented those kiosks. And you drop your package off, and they would give you your developed film later on. Well, he made millions of dollars with that. And he'd become a Christian. So he decided he would buy a Christian bookstore. And he did. And so when he heard the radio program that I had, he came to the island and said, well, I would like to use your tapes and sell them in my store. I said, well, he said, I'll give you something for that. I said, no, you don't have to do that. I said, just if you can use them and they can be good to you, fine. Well, I began to wonder, you know, this guy had such a childlike, simple faith. And when he came to the island, he told me when he got there that he was really concerned because he was afraid of water and wind and storms and waves. And I said, well, it's going to storm and there's heavy winds right now. He said, oh, that's okay. He said, I'm going to just ask the Lord to stop the wind for about an hour till I get to the other side. I thought, well, he's nuttier than a fruitcake. I said, that's never going to happen. I mean, well, come on. Oh, God. He says, Lord, stop the wind for an hour. I said, that's ridiculous. So he got to the dock and the wind stopped. I said, boy, that's one lucky dude. That's one lucky guy. I thought, man, you talk about it. And it was just amazing. Well, what you have to understand about him was his faith was real. And his faith was genuine. And he was quite an exciting person to know. And as I got later on in life, I began to realize that, no, many times we try to impress God with our maturity and our educations and our understandings instead of impressing him like a young child who says, I love you. I love you. Keep your life simple. Is there any more profound words than I love you? And Jesus couldn't do more than he has done to express those words to all of us. He simply wants us to know that I love you. This is a veteran that wrote this. He said, I was in Australia when I met a tiny, gnarled, cheerful man who had been in the war. You could hear the opening capital letters on those words when he said them quietly. I've been in the war. He was 19 years old when he fought against the Japanese in New Guinea. My girl waited for me all through my 2 years in the belly of the beast. She never went out with another fella, though the other fellas sure chased after her. She was true blue, that girl. We were married 10 days after I got home. 60 years and 70 days. The kids and I were with her when she went. We all kissed her, but she and I let our last kiss linger. I'll wait for you, she whispered. I'll be waiting for you. I visit her grave every day just up the hill there. I take the dog and the paper, and we go sit a while with her under the gum trees. You're looking at the luckiest man who ever lived. She chose me. You see, all the lads she could have picked, and she picked me. We had our waxes and wanes, sure. We never spent a night apart that we didn't have to. She was true blue, that girl. Still is. You can't kill that. That sort of thing doesn't die. When the body does, it doesn't. All the religious truth about what happens after we die, I don't worry about that. I know she's waiting for me, and I'll see her again, and I know we'll be together. I love this life, I do, but I don't mind when my time comes. I'll be just like when I was home from the war. What loved ones do you know that have left, and how you miss them? I'm envious of them. I had the most wonderful experience this weekend, and I saw my mother. Now, she's kind of lost her mind a little bit, much like her son. The time before, she didn't even know who I was. And I'd say, well, it's Myron. She said, no, it's not. No, it's not. I said, it is. No, it's not. And we had to try to convince her, yeah, that's who I am. And I went back in the past and talked about sermons. I said to her mom, and I was so discouraged, I thought, I don't know if I want to see her like that. She'd become mean-spirited. She snapped at people like a turtle. That's not my mother. And I didn't want to remember my last visit with my mother like that. So I thought, Lord, you know, the problem is people remember the last things and the worst things. And so I want people to remember my mother like that. She was a sweet, intelligent, loving, patient, understanding lady. Well, we got to see her this time when we went to my aunt's funeral, her sister's. And I was a little hesitant, but bless Mickey. She knows what loyalty is. She knows what family is. She says, oh, by the way, we're going. I said, like most dutiful husbands who stand up for themselves, yes, dear. And away I went. And when we got there, it was lovely. The family had had some problems in their past that seemed to be taken care of. Then I went to see my mother. And my son, Ryan, who's just a great gentleman, loves my mother, his grandma, he came and he said, it's Ryan. And she talked to him for a minute. And he sat down beside her and talked for a while. And then he said, well, here's Myron. And I went, she said, Myron, thank God, she said. Thank God. She said, I love you. I said, I know you do, Mom. And she said, well, are you preaching? And I said, well, I will be preaching. And it goes on the internet. And, you know, it can go to different places all over the world. She said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. That's my mom. That's my mom. Listen. There's a lot of people who have faith in you, too. There's a lot of people, in spite of your cloudy days and your curmudgeon ways and your stubbornness and your hard-headedness and your unthankfulness and your grumpiness, in spite of all that, somebody really actually loves you and is willing to put up with that because they know that's not where your heart is. It's not where your heart is. I learned something very interesting about the Bible when it says the tongue is a little member. Like a bit in a horse's mouth or the rudder of a ship, it can direct your life. And I thought, well, listen, if I control my tongue, he says, if a man controls his tongue, he controls his whole body. If a man controls his tongue, he controls his whole body. I said, what would happen if God controlled my tongue? He'd steer my life. Is he controlling yours? I like to say that at times he does, but you know, when storms come up and we lose a sense of direction at the helm and the rudder, you've got to realize sometimes God realizes we don't understand the strength of the anchor until we face the strength of the storm. So God is preparing you for the joy that he wants you to have in him. Now, I want to just close with this. In Psalm 23, it says, God prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, this is incredible. This psalm was written at a time when David was running from King Saul. And where was the safest place to be? In the Philistine camp. So in order to hide from Saul, the best place to hide is the Philistine camp. So what happened was he feigned insanity, pretended he was mad. And when he did that, the Philistines took him in. Why? Well, first of all, God prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. And what used to happen is the Philistines believed that anybody who was crazy had a spirit of divination. And so they would sit them at the king's table. And they would listen to their advice because they felt that they had some insights into the future. And do you realize these nations were being led and controlled by demons? You think the Egyptians weren't controlled and led by demons? They worshipped all kinds of creatures. They worshiped frogs and birds, cattle. They worshiped all these things. They worshiped false gods. You think they didn't believe in them? Do you think they didn't see miraculous things done by them? They were not a stupid people. Built the pyramids, developed all kinds of mathematical formulas. No, they knew that in the worship of false gods there was power. But the nations were being governed by false gods. And that's what's amazing about Psalm 23, the Lord prepared a table before David in the presence of his enemies because he wanted it to be like the table that he prepares for the believer at the Last Supper. Now, Jesus wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be a part of your life. Not the crazy part of your life where you talk to yourself out loud and people think you're nuts. It makes me think of Sal again when he mentioned that he had a Quaker come into his office bookstore one time. And the Quaker would go up to a book. He would say, dear God, should I buy this book? Out loud. He'd go to each book. Dear God, should I buy this book? Dear God, should I buy this book? Now, it's one thing to show your faith. It's another thing to make a show of your faith. And so here this man, God, should I buy this book? And here's Sal, crazy Sal. The guy gets to the place where he pays, and Sal says, Lord, should I sell it to him? Okay, praise God. Don't be ashamed to praise God. But be a real person in a broken world, not a broken person in an unreal world. Hey, listen, God wants to absolutely amaze you, and he's done it with great beasts in the ocean, great eagles in the sky, and he's given you a great fellowship to love and hold and pray for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you're a kind of God who's a God of all creation. And you are not only our God, you are our friend. And we pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.